God for his mercy and his grace. I'd like to speak to you this evening on the subject of a proper relationship with self. You know, if we want to find out about ourselves, all we have to do is look into God's Word and it'll tell us all about it. Matter of fact, over in the book of James, it says, when we look into, we'll see ourselves as we are. We behold ourselves in the face of a mirror, then we go away and forget what kind of a person we are. But when we look into the mirror of God's Word, we can really see truly what kind of an individual that we are. We're that kind and that way because of sin. And we're that way, and we can't blame sin, but we're that way because we yield to sin rather than to righteousness. That's our instinct. That's our nature, is to yield to sin rather than righteousness. Romans, the 7th chapter, if you'd like to turn your Bibles there. 7th chapter of the book of Romans, and we'll begin with verse number 10. The Bible says, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, just and good. When the commandment came, he wouldn't have known sin if it hadn't been that the Bible says, I shall not covet. Wherefore, the law is holy, the commandment's holy, just and good. And that's exactly the opposite of the nature of man. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Exceeding sinful. The law, that's the word of God. That's the all scripture. And when it comes, and we acknowledge and realize it, we see how sinful that we really are. We see the condition that we're in. It comes, he says, God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. You know, we have a tendency to become immune to sin. We have a tendency to accept sin. We have a tendency to accept error after that is placed upon us time and time again. But the commandment will bring it out how sinful that really is and deter, hopefully, us from that sin and yielding to that old nature that we have. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. You ever have trouble with that? You know, it comes in the form of temptation, doesn't it? But yet the law says, Jesus says, he'll not let us be tempted beyond that which we can bear, but he'll make a way of escape. You see? So this is not all bad, but it's good. Because you see, the condition we're in, we're helpless and hopeless to remedy that condition. And so the law will bring us to a place to where we can yield to Jesus, who can remedy that condition. What I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Yes. We don't like to be told that we're a sinner. We don't like to be told that we're wrong. We don't like to be told that we have serious problems. We don't like to hear it. But we need to, because that's the condition we're in. That's reality. And the law points it out and makes it real to us, makes us understand our condition. If I hadn't have come to the realization that I was lost, I would have never yielded to the Lord and been saved. If you hadn't come to that condition, you wouldn't. And that's why we have so many religious people out here that are religiously unsaved, because they're never brought and confronted with the truth of God's word, with the law, with that commandment of righteousness. And many are going to religiously die and go to hell, because their good works are not going to outweigh the bad. God doesn't accept the good works of man. Besides that, the prophet tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. So the law is good because it brings us to a place to where we'll accept our condition and then turn to the Lord in order to get that condition taken care of. And boy, when it happens, what a change. What a difference. The whole world's different. And those who we resented and were bitter toward, they're wonderful, beautiful people. And our desire is that everybody could experience and have what we have. You know, the world is looking for it in alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever else that they yield to or go to. They're looking. But they're looking in the wrong place. The commandment here, the law, will bring you to the right place. And the reason that they're no remedy for many is because they either will not accept it or they never hear it. Yeah. And a lot of people justify themselves in continuing in the condition that they're in because they question and they doubt, because there's so many who will reject it. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Can't get away from it, lost sinner. Can't get away from it, saved sinner. Let's face it. There's a part of me that I don't like. There's a part of me that drags me down. There's a part of me that makes me a dull boy. But thank God, when I trusted Jesus, there's another part of me that fights against that and draws me away and draws me up and gives me an enjoyment of life and an understanding of the condition that man is in and what sin is doing. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that sin... Or I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Where do you find it? In here. With a commandment. That's where you find it. Well, what are you finding when you find it? You're finding the words of God. You're finding the words of Jesus Christ, who is God. You're finding truth. You're finding reality. You find a way to cope with that condition that you're in. But only through Him, and only through accepting the commandment. And not everybody that hears the commandment will heed it. And if they don't heed it, there's no benefit. There's no change. There's no difference. But to continue in sin. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Yeah. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now listen, who's this that's speaking? Who's he talking about? This is the Apostle Paul, one of the most faithful servants of the Lord, one who had a wondrous salvation come to him on the road to Damascus when he was struck down in conviction there on the road. And he turned to Jesus Christ and trusted him. And he then became the most faithful servant and worker for the Lord of the New Testament when you boil it right down and make comparisons. And yet, here's the condition he says he's in. Are you better than he? Am I better than he? No, in no ways are we better. In no way can we be better. And Lord, have mercy on me. I find myself not even near as good as Paul was. And yet, look at the condition he says he's in. Look at the battle that he has. And should it surprise us that we have that battle? But the sad part of it is, if you don't have that battle, it's evidence that you may need to be changed. You may need to look to Jesus, repent of your sins, and by faith trust him as your Savior. If that change is not there, you just can't change. Yes, you can. By the help of the Lord. You can't do it on your own. By the help of the Lord. And I want you to pray for my brother, Charles. He may have just 2 months. He may at the most have 12 months. Before this condition that he's in takes him. He says he's saved. And I don't know, he never would serve the Lord. And every time I'd talk to him, he'd say, well, I've got to get my life straightened out before I can do that. Well, if you wait to straighten your life out before you worship, serve the Lord, before you surrender to him, you never will. Because we can't change this condition. Paul couldn't. Only the Lord can. Amen. Only submitting and yielding to the commandment can we. And who's the commandment? Our Creator. Yeah. That's right. What do you mean? I mean, each and every one of you and myself were created by Him in our mother's womb. He has a right. Yes, sir, he has a right. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of the Lord after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Now notice, this is Saul, who was struck down on the road to Damascus in conviction and accepted the Lord as his Savior, surrendered. That's who it is. And he says he's got an old man, that old nature, that old sinful nature, from the physical birth. He received the spiritual birth on the road to Damascus. Now he's got a new nature that he's talking about here. He's got a new nature that's of the Lord. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? One time these days, Jesus is coming in the clouds of the air, and he's going to deliver all of those that know what Paul knows here and has those two natures. He's going to deliver them from this old sinful body, from this old sinful nature that we have, and then we'll only have that new nature for all of eternity and evermore. Oh, yes, we'll have a new body, but most of all, we'll be without that old sinful nature. We'll be without this condition that's here. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that's the only way. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We have to live with self every day, all day long. It's often difficult for us to live with ourselves. How about you? Once in a while I get to where I don't like me very well. The self with which we live is the one we develop. The self with which we live is the one we develop. Yeah, God set that up in the garden when he gave Adam and Eve a choice. He set that up with us individually when we come to that age of the knowledge of good and evil, that age of accountability that it's referred to in the Bible. When he drew us by his Spirit, when he convicted us and drew us to him, we had a choice. We could yield and come to him, repent, and by faith trusting him as Savior, or we could turn and walk and seek out our own way. What did we do? We turned, we walked, we sought out our own way, every one of us. But thank God he didn't give up, but he continued to deal with us. The proper relationship with self necessitates a close look at self. The big thing today is self-discovery. The idea is to try anything and everything to discover your thing and then do it. That's it today, brother. As a matter of fact, boys are trying to be girls and girls are trying to be boys. I don't care how they go about or what they do, it is impossible to change what God has established for eternity. Now, they may do whatever they do, take whatever they take, they could be mutilated in whatever way they want to be mutilated, but they are still male and female, what God made them. We're eternal beings. And there's no give in that. The better thing is to go to God and his word for self-discovery. Paul. Yeah. And when we discover what Paul discovered about himself, we're going to discover that same thing about ourselves. And hopefully, as you're discovering, you know the Lord is your Savior, and it could be like Paul. But if not, you're still going to see the condition that you're in as a sinner, because all men are. When we say men, we're talking about mankind. That's men and women. The better thing is to look to Jesus Christ to see what you may become. Needs to be a critical evaluation of yourself. It has to be an honest evaluation. Paul wasn't trying to cover up or make himself look better than what he was. He was just fully honest. He said, here's the condition I'm in. Here's the battle I'm fighting. Here's what I'm going through. This is what I have to deal with. He made an honest evaluation of himself. A helpful evaluation. Look at verse number 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then in Job 42 and verse number 6. Job 42. In verse 6, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. What? Now this man knew the Lord. This man was trying to live for the Lord. And this man went to the extent that he was praying just in case his children sinned. He was a faithful servant of the Lord, blessed of the Lord. And he lost everything. And he still wouldn't deny and turn his back on the Lord. There was no price great enough. And yet he recognized in himself, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He was willing to be honest with himself and accept the condition he was in and realize and understand the need that he had could only be supplied by God, and he cried out to God for that need. And with him, God's grace was sufficient. We need a hopeful evaluation. We need to look for ways to improve. We need to look for ways to overcome. And you don't go to your psychologist or psychiatrist or anyone else. Go to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. Again, all scripture given by inspiration of God is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What will furnish you to all good works? The Word of God. What will bring you to that place, to where you will improve your life, is the Word of God. You need to have a constant control of yourself. Now, my dear wife, she'll tell you that I have a problem with this. She doesn't know it secretly. I'm just doing that to cause her to be concerned. Of course, if you believe that, I'll sell you a bridge in Brooklyn cheap. Anyway, come on, flesh, get behind me. A constant control of self, a principle to be understood, a practice to be followed. Look at Matthew 26, verse number 41. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. Be cautious, be careful, and pray that you enter in not into temptation, that you yield not to the temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is oh so weak. You have to constantly fight to keep the flesh under control. I don't care how good you think you are. You better fight that battle if you want to be worth anything. That's the facts of it and the reality. You better put up a big fight. There's a profit to be obtained. Look at 1 Timothy 4, verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Well, they say that that's just for a little while, this short life. That's true. I don't care how healthy you are. I don't care how muscular you are or handsome you are or how ugly you are, whatever it is. For this short life, it doesn't really matter because it has nothing and no influence on the life to come. Or no effect on the life to come. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. godliness. That's where the prophet is. We need a conscious speaking to self. We need to instruct our soul. Look at Psalms 42 and verse 5, and how do you do it? By the word of God. Psalms 42. Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Then in Psalm 62 and verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Instruct your soul. Right here. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. We need to inspire our soul. How? With the word of God. It all comes back to God's word. You know what? He said, you'll know the truth. Well, God's word is the truth he's talking about. And he says, the truth shall set you free. It'll free you from all of this turmoil and all of these things. And it'll bring the grace of God into your life so that you can endure all kinds of hardness that sin brings into your life. You can live by faith. Trust in him. Knowing that he's going to keep the promise that he made. If you seek him first, he said, all these things will be added unto you. What's he talking about? All of the needs that we have in this life. He just told you how he provided the needs for the fowls of the air and for the lilies of the field. And he says, oh, ye of little faith, how much more do you think the Father would do for you? You got to believe him. We go around all things. The sky's falling. The sky's falling. The economy's terrible. We're not going to be able to buy food. We're not going to be able to do this or do that. And especially the plague gave us this. We won't be able to buy toilet paper. That's the most important thing of it all. The Lord will provide. By the way, my wife buys toilet paper. It's just next door to corn cob. And if you're not from the South, you may not know what that means. Montgomery Ward's catalog works. Anyway. We need to have optimism about ourselves. Look at Psalms 4, verse 13, or not Psalms 4, Philippians 4, verse number 13. Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We need to believe that what he said was true. And that we can accomplish it. We need to cultivate our assets. We need to determine to overcome for Jesus' sake. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you need to understand that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's what is his means of you being saved, of you having that new nature, having two natures, the sinful nature by the physical birth, the new nature by the spiritual birth, the second birth. If you haven't had that second birth, the way you obtained it is When you're willing to believe and trust in what Jesus Christ did to pay the penalty for our sin, to remove the condemnation from our life because we refuse to believe and trust in him. John 3:18, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he's a sinner? No, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He hadn't believed and trusted in Jesus. Well, what do you believe and trust about him? That he came in the flesh as a man, that he suffered, died because of our sin. He rose again for our justification. We need to be willing to believe that with all of our heart and then trust and let him save our soul. Because it's he who saves. And there's nothing we can do to deserve it. But he's willing, in spite of ourselves, to save your soul if you'll let him. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, the Spirit of God convicts your heart. Come to Jesus. Whether it be to be saved by the grace of God, or whether it be to take care of sin in your life or suffering, or maybe you just need to come and pray earnestly for someone. Whatever the need is, come to Jesus. What should we sing, brother? 200.